We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Transformational change. Let's start this series with this thought. Everybody write this down. Transformational change happens in relationships. It actually is in relationships that we are transformed. Are you hearing me? It's because of relationships. And I mean this, whether that's good or bad, you can be transformed into something that you're not. I think of a young guy who, I remember Josh was discipling this young man. He was 6 months a Christian in his last year of high school when he went off to college and got himself a scholarship in a college. And I remember this young man, I asked him, I said, "Tell me, my friend, where are you going to college?" And he told me where he was going. And I said, "Are there good churches close by that you can stay connected to?" He goes, "I really don't know." And I said, "Well, all I can tell you is, what does it profit a man that he gets a great scholarship because of a sport that he was involved in? And, you make it in your field of endeavor, but you forfeit your soul. We need each other. We need to be in relationship with other Christians if we're going to make this." And he listened to be a 6 months older Christian. And I remember, it was probably about 6 months or 12 months into his college year that actually he began to make some bad decisions because of the friendships that he had built and established. Found himself being arrested by the police, the undercover narcotics detectives arrested him and pressed charges on him for selling and distributing drugs on a college campus. And I remember saying to this young man, "Listen, this is not who you are. You are not a drug dealer. You've made some really bad choices, and those choices were the friends. And you didn't commit yourself to being in God's house." You see, transformational change happens in relationships. And that can happen for good, or that can happen for bad based on the relationships and the people you choose. Does that make sense? So I just want to say that I believe all change happens as a result of accountability and having the right people in our life. Let me show you a verse in the Bible that I think we need to look at again differently. Mark chapter 12, and this is the Pharisees asking Jesus, "What do you think the greatest commandment is?" And Jesus answered and said, excuse me, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." So Jesus is being asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus is answering it. Love God more than you do football. Amen. For all those who are not here this morning watching football, I realize I'm talking to the choir. You might love football, but you have a thing called DVR. How many here love football? Let me see. How many here hate football? Let me see your hands. There's still a few of you. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor. Remember that old TV show? Love thy neighbor. Okay. As yourself. Now, I read that and I think to myself, that is a compelling scripture. That you're to love your neighbor as you do yourself. Well, let's be honest. I've seen the way some people love themselves. And I don't want them loving me as they love themselves. There's been times when I haven't liked myself a whole lot. And I don't want to be loving people like I'm liking me right now. You with me here? And I actually Dr. Joe Monaco, who's a very dear friend of mine, we've met for breakfast every other week for the last 20 years on a Friday morning, sent to me a podcast by Carrie Newhoff, who interviewed Dr. John Townsend. And actually, they were talking about this book that Dr. John Townsend wrote, which is called People Fuel. And the whole idea is you got to fill your tank up and you got to get the right nutrients in your life to get the best out of life. And I thought about this scripture that we're to love our neighbor as we do ourselves. So how important is it that we love ourselves right so we can love our neighbor right? Because we're only going to love people like we love ourselves. But there's a whole lot of people who I believe are having, if you like, relational deficiencies in their diet. They are actually giving themselves bad nutrients. So the thought this morning, I don't want to claim originality to this teaching I'm going to do this morning. I actually want to take seven key aspects that Dr. Townsend talks about, and I want to put it to you in more of a biblical context. And even though this is a good book and I haven't read it myself yet, I only just bought it yesterday myself, but I listened to the podcast and I want to add to you my thoughts based on what his headings are. Is that okay? So if you've been around me, you've heard me teach like this. There are three kinds of people that I believe everybody has in your life. Number one, there are those who replenish you. Isn't that true? When you're around some people, you just feel better about life, right? Like when you've had, maybe you just had a meal with them, you had lunch with them, maybe you had a coffee with them, maybe you went and, you know, you just interacted with them after church, and after you've talked with them and been with them, you just go, man, I can do something for God. Anybody know those sorts of people in your lives? You're motivated, you're inspired, you're encouraged. They replenish you. How many thank God for those people in your life? Then, of course, there are people who I consider that are neutral. Like, you'd like to get them, know them better, but you always think to yourself, man, we should spend more time with them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, just the casual conversation, the interaction you had. It's a bit like for me, I think about sometimes when Sharon and I, when our kids were playing, Josh and Sam were playing soccer, and we would interact with different parents, and as a result of being on the same team, and man, we ought to get to know those people better. They're kind of neutral, like there's a curiosity to that person, and that's all good. How many know those sorts of people in your lives? Like, we should take them to lunch. We should get to know them better. They're not replenishing you, but they're certainly not, you know, no deficiency. There's no downside, and there's a curiosity to take that relationship further. But then there's a third kind of person that I believe everybody has in your life, and there are these people who drain you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Look straight ahead, just in case you're sitting next to one. But you know what I mean by that? Like, as soon as you see them, you just feel, like Jesus said, who touched me? I felt power go out of me. You feel energy leaving you as soon as you see them. But you need to realize that you need to make yourself available to people. Amen. But I often ask people, where do you sit on that scale of replenishing, neutral? If everybody in your life is neutral, you need to get some better friends. If everybody in your life is all draining, you need to make sure you're more intentional about spending more time with people who can replenish you. Because remember the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not taking care of you, you can't be there for others. Amen. So to me, it's the word out. It's all the word inflow. And in other words, outflow rather, like people that are there, but who's speaking into your life? Who's actually helping you? Because this relationship is on circles. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about that. If I were to ask you, if you were to put together a list right now based on those three things I just taught, and I've taught this for years, how easy would it be to fill the draining people, but actually how challenging would it be to actually identify the people who replenish you? For instance, if I were to say, name three people that are replenishing, name three people who are neutral, and name three people who are draining. Now, don't do it right now because the person might be sitting next to you on the draining. But if you were to easily find it to name three people who drain you, but you couldn't think of one person who replenishes you, there's a sign that you actually are relational starving of a good nutrient of the right kind of people. Are you hearing me? Or if you actually have nobody that's draining you, you may want to make life more than just yourself. Amen. And so, you know, to me, this scripture is really important because I want to ask you a question. Tell me about your relationships. See, we all have an internal judge, don't we? When we feel like we've done something, I mean, I speak for a living. That's what I do. That's what I do. I'm a professional speaker. That's what God's called me to do. Hopefully, an anointed one. You with me here? I'm not just a motivational speaker. I'm not just a coach, but I'm hopefully bringing the wisdom of heaven to people's lives. You with me here? That's what God's called me to do. But even with that, there's still my humanity, and there's sometimes I say things that I wished I never said. Anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Oh God, I wished I'd never said that. I wished I didn't say that. And when you do that for a living, there's going to be those moments. So we've got to have people in our lives who are, if you like, going to help you with the internal judge, because you are your own internal judge. But you may be judging yourself wrongly. So you need people in your life that can give you perspective, that love you. Amen. See, we all need empathy from others who are constructive. I remember one time I spoke, and I speak a lot. I speak 2 or 3, 4 times a week. And so I remember one time I was asked to do a business session for a company, and I've done that a lot, and I love doing it. And I always felt like, you know, when I've done it, I've done a good job. But this one particular time, I just didn't feel like I was connecting. I just felt like my words were coming out of my mouth and falling on the floor. And to be honest with you, people said it was good content. People said, oh, that was really good. But I knew it wasn't my best message. I knew it. I knew I fell short of my potential. I knew that in that moment, even though maybe people got a lot out of it, I feel like I failed to bring not even close to my best. And I walked out feeling a little deflated, and I sent it to some friends of mine. There's some people I could send it to who would think I could do nothing right. You with me? So you don't send it to them. But I sent it to people who were empathetic, that loved me. And I said, would you listen to this? One particular person, I said, would you listen to this and just tell me, you know, what do you think? Because I really felt like I missed it, and I don't want to do that again. And when they listened, they said, yeah, well, Steve, it certainly wasn't your best. And they were empathetic, but don't worry, you're a great speaker. And this is just one out of, you know, all the times. And they said, were you under a lot of stress at the time? I said, yeah, actually, now that you mentioned it, I was. And they said, well, you know, what do you think? And I said, well, I put more preparation into that message than any other message before. And he just said to me, well, there's your problem. Maybe you're overprepared and you were trying to do too much. And it just, it's empathy. Yeah, it wasn't your best, but constructive. We all need those sorts of people in our lives. Amen. We don't need somebody who's trying to point out everything we've done wrong. And here's what Dr. Townsend says, and I love this. We can literally rewire our brain by right conversations and by right people. Literally, that scripture that says Romans 12, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can literally rewire our brain by having the right conversations with the right people. But I want to say, if all we're going to do is spend time with people who are, it's always outflow, I want to ask you, tell me about your relationships. Where is the inflow? Who is helping you to be all that God's called you to be? Amen. And so that's why I mentioned the book. So people are lonely. And you know, and I want to ask you a question. Who are your people? Who do you turn to when life gets a little challenging? Because I've discovered people are more lonely now than any other generation. It is amazing to me, in the technological computer world that we live in, we're advanced in technology. We can talk to people all over the world in an instant. We can FaceTime. People are lonelier now than they've ever been. And this is what some people say. Well, there's God, there's my wife, and there's my dog. And that's all I need. God is all I need. God is not all you need. Sorry to burst your bubble, but you are deceived in thinking that. We were created by God to be in relationship. We are called, and God said it is not good for man to be alone. Was God there when he said it? Yes. God is not all you need. I don't need to go to church. I was talking to Robert and Margaret last night. Sharon and I invited them to dinner at 6 o'clock, and they'd already eaten at 5 o'clock. Praise the Lord. That's why they run the Caleb generation. Who eats at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Actually, who does eat at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? God bless you all. Amen. My idea of eating is at 8 o'clock. That's my idea. Anybody with me on the 8 o'clock? Yeah, look at you all. But Robert was telling me about a waiter he met in a restaurant. He was so excited. The waiter found out Robert was a pastor. He goes, praise the Lord, brother. We're building the kingdom together. And so Robert said, what church do you go to? A natural question to ask someone who's a believer. Oh, I don't go to any church. I just wake up in the morning, me and my girlfriend, well, even though there's a clue, me and my girlfriend wake up in the morning, what, in separate houses? Like you're going to call yourself a Christian and you're living with your girlfriend? Read your Bible. And he says, we don't go to any one church. We just go, we wake up and we pray wherever the Lord tells us to go. Well, no wonder you go to any one church, because any one church long enough is going to speak to you. But if you call yourself a Christian and you're not real willing to bring your life in alignment with the Word of God, I'm not shaming someone who's not a Christian, but I'm saying you get around the house of God, you need relations. Someone's going to go, come on, there's a better way. There's God's way. So I'm just asking the question. Maybe, you know, you might say there's God. Well, God's God. You with me here? Your wife or your husband, that's all you need, sure. But even they think you're tired. Even they think you need more encouragement. And your dog's going to lick you no matter what you do. Come on, let's be honest. Amen. That's all about, if you like, outflow. What about the inflow? This is what we do. Well, you don't understand. These are the people in my life. These are my people. I work and I'm the manager. I'm the boss at my work and I'm on a sports team. I'm the coach. I'm involved in community. I'm a leader in the community. That's all outflow. Who is actually giving you nutrition relationally? Who is feeding you? Because you were not created to do life alone. Somebody say amen. When we operate like this, we operate out of relational deficits and we need relational nutrients. I like the way he says that. As an outflow, listen to this, and we need to be, listen, the problem is we're taught to be self-sufficient, aren't we? Put yourself up by your bootstraps. Just get yourself together. Or what we do is actually, we just need to realize we need relational nutrients. And people are relational nutrients, the right people with the right conversations. We're taught to be self-sufficient, and we don't have these relationships because we've had a bad experience. And we don't want to be rejected, so we're going to reject somebody before they reject us. It's called self-preservation. Or what's even, to me, I think, we're too ashamed. Sharon lied. We were called when we first got married and we were dating in the youth group in the church we got saved in. The senior pastor used to refer to Sharon and I as Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. That's how everybody jokingly called us. And at the time, I actually allowed that to put pressure under me. Now, we were just married. We were just engaged in youth ministry and just getting started and trying to figure out how to, you know, successfully stay married. And we were trying to figure out, you know, what it means to love each other and be in each other's worlds with two different family backgrounds. And we were having arguments and conversations and fights. And I mean, some of them were just straight out yelling matches. You with me here? Don't look at me so shocked. And the bottom line is, when you're called Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, we felt like we couldn't tell anybody that we're having problems because we would felt like we, you know, that we're supposed to be perfect. So sometimes it's out of shame. There's some sort of, you know, internal function where we don't want to appear to be weak. So we don't want to get but so close to people, because if they get to know the real us, they may not like us. Therefore, we'll hold people at a distance, which is why this week we're actually launching all of our community groups. And it's a major goal of Wave Church. I want you to hear this. Every campus, it is a major goal in every campus that as many people are in attendance on a Sunday morning in each campus, there are that many people in community groups. That is a goal that we have for every single campus. Okay, clap. But that means you. That means you. That somewhere, somehow, you're connecting with people in your life that are going to help you do life better in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have poor relational nutrients, listen to this, your performance, it's proven, will be poor. Your ability, your outflow, your productivity will be diminished if you have poor relational nutrients. No different than if you have poor nutrients in your body and you're eating all the wrong foods, you will have health challenges. As true as that is as true that your ability to bring about productivity is diminished by having poor relational nutrients. Anybody catching this? And so it creates a vacuum. We all need to be fully functioning. There must be people in our life who know everything. There will never be full resolution without full disclosure. Now, you're careful, you're wise, you're limited as to who those people are. These are confidants. These are people you don't share your whole, you don't share with everybody everything, but there's got to be some in your life that just know everything. You're only as healthy as your darkest secret. As your darkest, let me put it this way, unkept, or if you like, kept secret that you haven't shared with somebody. We all have to bring who we are into the light of somebody. You're looking at somebody who's got at least two people I can think of. Frankly, there'd be a couple more that I actually, there's a guy called Paul DeYoung. He knows everything about Steve Kelly, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because I can take my face off. I can take my mask off and show him my real person. Here's my darkest fears. Here's my challenges. Here's my weaknesses. There's another person that I have intentionally built into my life. His name's Dr. Don Leachy. I thank God for him. Because let me tell you something. We don't want to be suffering poor relational nutrients. It will affect your productivity. And it will affect your health. And it'll affect your happiness. Come on, somebody. Amen. So let me just go into this real quick because I don't want to spend too much time. I also want to give you what Dr. Towns, I almost said Cloud, he's the other author of the Boundaries book, what he talks about, there are seven kinds of people we all have in our life. Some of these are good and some of these are bad. The first one he talks about, we all need coaches. And we all have coaches in life, at least we should. Coaches are people who are someone with a proven track record of success, actually who is available to us that we can speak to and actually can help us be better at what we do. We all have to have coaches in our lives. We got to have people who, if you like, are the consummate professional in some area where in line with what you believe God's called you to do, they can help sharpen you to be the better, to do better than what you're doing right now. Does that make sense? We all need coaches. I think Jesus was a great example of being a coach, and he had his 12 disciples, and it was, he showed them and he told them. And he said, now you've seen me do it, now you do it. Every one of us here in life, and maybe for you it's in business, you need a business coach. What you don't want to do is ask a person on their fourth marriage for marriage advice. Amen. Or do ask them and just do everything they tell you to do, do the opposite. Are you hearing me? I'm a one guy, he's got a PhD, and he said to me, man, you frustrate me. He goes, I got a PhD, and you know, I can't even gather a community group and keep people in a community group. How can you grow a large growing church when I've got a PhD and you have no education? I'm going, well, there's your first clue right there, my friend. Because you're assuming I have no education. I just don't tell everybody 100 times a day what my education is, because I don't get my confidence on an education. And then he wants to give marriage advice. He's on his third marriage. And I want to make sure you choose carefully the kind of coach that you need. If it's in business, it's in marriage. Maybe it's to do with your health, but we need a coach. Amen. Secondly, we need comrades. Comrades, these are like, if you like, 3 to 10 people, if you like, in a sense, who know it all and care about it and care about you. There's nothing worse if you're going to try and talk to somebody and you say, listen, man, I've been really struggling in my health. And they say, yeah, how about them Jets? And they just divert the conversation away. Are you hearing me? You got to have the right kind of people who know you and actually are going to lean in and care about you because they want you to change. There's one of my friends, Paul DeYoung. He's a comrade and he loves me and he's a comrade. He's going to speak into my life and say, Steve, in this area, you need to be careful. Steve, in this area, you need to be kinder. Steve, in this area, you can't lose your confidence. We need people who are in the trenches with you and they want you to change and they love you enough to tell you what you need to hear so that you can change. And they are there with you. I wonder how many comrades we have. Then there's three. There's the casuals. I like this because this guy's list is a little bit longer than mine. I just had three. He's got seven. And not all these, according to his list, are good, but we all have these in our lives. And the casuals are cool friends, and you don't know them that well yet, but you'd like to get to know them better. It's what I'd call neutral. They're like the parents on the soccer team. Well, for us, you know, it's just people who are nice, nice people. And by the way, this is a great farm for your, if you have no comrades, you got to at least start with the casuals. And those people, hey, I need to get to know them better. Because that becomes the farm team for who could be a comrade. And then from there, he talks about you got to have colleagues, people you work with. People that actually are in a day-to-day, weekly, constant environment. If you're a stay-at-home mom, there's people you relate to, other mothers. If you're a stay-at-home dad, there's people you relate to. You meet them. We need these people. If you're at work, there's people you work with. And we need these people in our lives, but we've got to have the people who are relationally driven. You don't need somebody in your life that actually wants nothing to do with you at work. Amen. You want someone who's competent. And number three, you want these people who I call colleagues, listen to it, who are really good at being on a team. Because let me tell you something, they can work on a team. Remember, years and years ago, we had two pastors, and I remember the first guy I brought in was a very gifted person. And an amazing guy and a close friend. And actually, I put him in a major area of our church. And then this other guy gets saved in our church, and I ended up putting him on team. The only problem is these two didn't like each other. And there was continual fighting. And one day I just sat down with a pair of them. I said, you're both pastors. And maybe you didn't choose each other to be on this team, but I chose both of you. And if you're going to be on this team, you better figure out how to work together. Amen. Maybe you wouldn't have chosen each other naturally, and maybe you got major personality conflicts, but if you want to be on this team and you want to be on this team, you better figure out how to be a team player, or you got no place on this team in Jesus' name. Come on. So we're talking about picking the right kind of people that can speak into our life. Number five, you got to have people who I would consider that care. Like Mary, think about Mary. Here's Martha, she's out there working. She's the colleague. She's out there going, Jesus, tell Mary to get out here and help me in the kitchen. She's the worker. She's trying to build teams. But Mary, what's she doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus and she's caring. And all of us are helping others as we should be, amen? We are designed to give back. It's in our nature. To care, to help. I love, one of the things I love the most about the United States is the generosity of the United States. In a sense, there could almost be a care fatigue as you hear about one shooting and one disaster and then another hurricane and just what happened in the Bahamas. But something with the heart of an average American rises above and still finds a way to give to those who are in need. We care. And you've got to have people in your life on your inflow who care about you. And then you got to be that kind of person to others. You got to be somebody who cares. One of the things Sharon does all the time, she's so good at, Sharon's the ultimate carer, isn't she? Anyone who's around Sharon, you know she cares. And she'll ask questions, and when I may have a conversation, never betraying a confidence, but we're trying to help somebody, and then, you know, she'll say, well, tell me, how do they feel about that? And I go, I don't know, I didn't ask them. I'm the guy that's just like, I'm just trying to help them, and here's the, you know, and Sharon goes, well, did you talk to them about their feelings? And I went, feelings come, feelings go, they'll figure it out. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? But you're like, and I go, oh, that's right, care. Because people will go to hell and back with you if they think you care about them. Amen? People would actually take a lesser job with lesser pay to feel like they're with somebody who cares. Are you hearing me? Now, let's be the people who care that has the better job and the better pay. You don't have to choose. Let's be people. I think about the centurion. Listen, he cared about his servant. He went to Jesus. We got to have people who care. Come on, say care. And number six, there are people, and this is where this list gets bad. There are people who are chronics in our life. Do you know those people that never get better? And they are in your life, and they're the chronics. These are people, if you like, the scriptural example is Jesus says to the man lame by the pool for 38 years, do you actually want to get better? And listen to what the man said. Oh, you don't understand. There's always a reason why people never change. Well, you don't understand. You know, I've got nobody to help me. You don't understand. There's people who are quicker than I am. There's people who are faster than I am. You know, I've got no one to help me. When the angel does come and stir the water, someone always gets in ahead of me. It's not my fault why I am the way I am. Do you know those people when you talk to them and you say, listen, for me as a pastor, I have lost countless hours of sleep over nights where I'm caring more about a marriage than the people in the marriage are caring. And it's like, yeah, next time you see them, hey, did you pray together like I suggested? Did you read that book together? Did you go out on a date? No, on that night, and it's the chronics. There's always a reason, an excuse as to why they don't change. Dr. Townsend refers it as this, a flat learning curve. I think that's well said. They never do it. They aren't in there. Listen to this. For their growth in your world, they're not in your world relationally for their growth, they're in your world because you're a positive person. You're their Prozac. Are you hearing me? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be available to people. I'm not saying we shouldn't not care for these people, but I'm just asking, talk to me about relationships, because if you're bottom heavy and you've got no comrades and no colleagues, and no coaches, but this your world is full of these people. I'm just saying, come on, let's get the right balance of relational nutrients in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. And then here's the last one, because my time is up. We got to have, if you like, we got to be careful. This one. This one here, we all have this in our lives, but this one's not good, yet we all have it. There are people in our lives who I call, or Dr. Townsend calls, contaminants. Contaminants. In other words, let me give you a biblical example. Remember when David was dying and he destined and he declared that Solomon would be the next king? Remember that? He said, God said to him, you won't build me a house, but your son Solomon will. And so there was a person called Absalom who kept trying to become the king. And he kept trying to undermine King David. And there are people in your world and in my world who have that Absalom kind of divisive, negative. These are people who are not chronics. These are people who have malicious intent. There are bad people out there. Thank you for the underwhelming response. There are people who really want to hurt you. They want to divide your soul. They want to divide your family. Sharon and I can think of a particular couple that we knew were out to get us. And were out to destroy this church and were saying things about us that were so untrue and so unfair and so negative and so divisive. They even went after our kids in trying to divide our children from us. There are people who actually want to divide your life. And you've got to make sure you've got no time for these people. The Bible says, drive out the mocker and out goes the strife. Where there is no wood, there is no fire. And there are people, as much as we're inclusive, as much as we're a church that loves, as much as we care, there's some things we cannot and we will not tolerate in our lives. Come on, somebody say amen. I don't want to spend all my time putting out fires. I want to spend my time lighting fires. And so I just want to ask you a question. When I give you this list that came from his book, and I'm not taking credit for it, but I'm adding to it my thoughts about what that looks like. How you doing? Have you got a coach? Have you got maybe one or two people? Have you got some comrades? Have you got some colleagues? Have you got some casuals? Or is all your relational, if you like, nutrients coming from the bottom end? I just want to say to you, come on, let's get this in balance. In Jesus' name. Anybody received that word today? Amen. I know it's not a feel better message. It's one of those messages that is a bit of a be better message. Praise the Lord. Where's that little stage that normally comes out about a foot? I need that stage in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that somewhere, somehow, a miracle will happen and that stage would somehow begin to move. There it is. That's enough. Praise the Lord. And I've just come. Listen, I love you. And I love you enough not to leave you where you are. As your pastor, as your shepherd. Do you know there's times when I think about, you want to talk about things I wish I never said? I remember there were some Sundays I got so mad at you. It's a wonder you came back. And you were about punctuality. And I said, don't even come anymore. I don't want you. Remember that Sunday? I even locked the doors. How many remember that when I locked the doors? Praise the Lord. And you know what was driving that? Honestly, was just a desire for people to actually get better in your excellence. A desire for people to have a love and respect and an awe for the house of God. You with me here? But then I realized I'm really ticking people off with this. And I talked about don't have the cringe factor, and I was doing cringe. But what was motivating is I love you enough not to leave you where you are, to challenge you, to provoke you, to be better, to go for excellence. And then I said, God, give me wisdom because this ain't working. Praise the Lord. Some of you still don't change. I'm glad you're here, but we need people in our lives. Amen? Come on, man. You can't think like that anymore. Come on. You got to stop doing that. You've picked up a bad habit there. That's got to stop. Okay? What are you saying? I'm talking about who is that in your life? Who love you and care about you? You're awesome, but you're better than that. Just this week, Sharon and I had been babysitting Jax and Lennon all week. But I remember Jax opened the car door when I got the Starbucks. And I leaned over and I saw on the dashboard, car back door, ajar. And I leaned over and here's Jax with his hand on the button and the door's open. I said, Jax, did you do that? He goes, no, Skipper. And I'm like, this kid thinks I'm an idiot. And, you know, I had to sit down and say, hey, buddy, like he's four, so you got to put it in context. Context. You ready for it, parents? Context. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Do you know what that means? Children are bound to do foolish things. Amen? So if you're going to be the perfect parent and think my kid will never do that, he's four. You with me? Just thank God he didn't do it while the car was moving. But I was trying to drive home a conversation with him about Jax. You see, in our family, and you're part of our family, we value truth. And truth means more to me than even what you did in opening the door. That is, and I'm trying to, how do I get that through to a four-year-old? And I, as a pastor, look at me. I love you. And I don't want to leave people just the way they are. I want to make sure that we're preaching the word in a way that's causing us to think about our lives. And how's your diet relationally? And that is the start of our Circle series. Next Sunday, Sharon and I are gonna be up here on the stage. We're gonna be talking about marriage. We're gonna talk about relationships. We're gonna talk about parenting. We're gonna talk about boundaries. So I'm just straight, if you don't wanna come next Sunday, I understand. If you wanna come early and leave early, I understand. But I want to talk about this series and really in a way that helps us do life better. Do you receive the word? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.